Boker Tov, everyone. Good morning. Hope you all had a wonderful Shabbos. Shavua Tov. And we continue in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Perek Lamed Dalet Halacha Dalet and the laws of Tzedakah. Some very important and relevant information and details regarding our Tzedakah money. We'll try to get to as many of them as we can today. Kitzur writes, Kama Yitena Adam Litzedakah. How much should a person designate from his money, from his resources, to give to tzedakah? So the Kitzur explains, Shana Rishona Hamayser Mina Keren. The first year, you should separate 1/10 of your principal. The first year here, meaning I assume the first year that one is financially independent and able to give tzedakah from his own money, so you should set aside 1/10 of what you have. Mikan ve'elach yitin Mayser Mina Revach Shirviach Kol Shana. And after that, you should set aside 1/10 of the income that you produce, that you earn each year. Chutz Mitzarchei Beiso, excluding basic expenses and needs of your own household, which can be taken out before separating the 10th from Meiser. Zuhi Mida Beinonis. This is considered the basic, the medium, the average level of giving tzedakah. A couple quick notes on this. Firstly, as the Kitzur just mentioned, this is considered Mida Beinonis, meaning the average or middle level. So that implies that there is a higher level and a lower level. The higher level we're going to learn about soon. The lower level is for someone who can't afford, who just doesn't have enough to be able to give tzedakah a full 1/10 of what he owns, so he gives less. Okay, this is assuming that one is really able to still provide for himself and his family, which is his first obligation, and then separating 1/10 would be the proper amount to at least begin with, if one is able. If one is able, not able to do this, then one can, of course, do less. This line that the Kitzur says that chutz mitzarchei beso, that first one can reduce their own household expenses before separating 1/10, so most poskim do not agree with that fully. For many people, if they would take out their household expenses before separating Meiser, they might not have that much left to give to tzedakah. So most agree that 1/10 has to be factored in to the basic expenses. In other words, you take your income, you separate 1/10 for tzedakah, and from the remaining 90%, you can pay your basic life expenses. Moshe Feinstein has some tshuvos about this, where he discusses what about income tax. Do you separate the Meiser before or after income tax, property tax, and other details? So I'm not going to answer all these questions right now, but worthwhile to give these things some thought. But let's say that most agree that we try to pay 1/10 of our income, likely post-income tax, but pre-spending our money on other basic expenses. The Kitzur continues and explains, U'mitzvah min ha-muvchar she'itin chomesh shana rishonah min ha-keren ve'achakach kol shana chomesh min ha-revach. As mentioned previously, 1/10 is the mita beinonis, the middle level. And even higher level, if one is able to afford it, is to give 1/5 of your base, of your principal amount, and then continue each year by giving 1/5 of your income. But be careful, v'alivazveiz adam yosir min ha-chomesh kedei shelo yitztarechu achar kach lebrios. A person shouldn't designate more than 1/5 of his money, particularly a generous person. Should be careful even about that, because you don't want to end up, God forbid, being the person who then needs to collect money. Make sure that you save enough for yourself. The poskim say that you shouldn't designate more than 1/5, the chachila, from the beginning to be for tzedakah. But if you've already given 1/5 that year, and then a particular need arises, a poor person knocks on your door, there's a new organization that really needs your support, so then, of course, you can choose to give a little bit extra. But when you're outlining your basic budget, 1/5 is a great high level of the amount to give tzedakah. Giving more than that, generally not recommended. V'dakva kol yimei chayav, but that, the Kitzur says, is only during the days of your life in this world. Aval bishas mos yachol adam liten ad shlish rechusho tzedakah. But in the time of death, in other words, when a person is planning where he wants his resources to be distributed to after 120 years, so then a person could actually designate up to 1/3 of all of his resources to give to tzedakah. The other 2/3 should be for his family and his children, if he has, his grandchildren. But the remaining 1/3 can be given to tzedakah. Of course, if a person doesn't have children, doesn't have any children, or they don't need all the money, then there's some wiggle room there as well. Ein lasos mi meiser shelo devar mitzvah. Now, this meiser money that we've separated, however much it is, what could or should it be used for? So the Kitzur says it should not be used for a mitzvah. In other words, the stam, the standard case, is that it's being used to provide for needy people, for people who need money, who can't afford to buy themselves food and basic needs. Shouldn't be used for a different mitzvah. Could go neiros lebeis haknesses, providing candles or light for the shul. That's a beautiful mitzvah, and we need somebody to pay for it. But that shouldn't come from meiser money. O sha'ar devarim the mitzvah, or some other mitzvah item. Rak yitnuhu lani, and really should be given to poor people. The truth is, even here, there's some discussion about, listen, if nobody's going to paying for the lights in the shul, And if you don't pay for it, then maybe it won't be light in the shul. Then presumably that could also be considered a real tzedakah and even a case of need where that could be taken from your miser money. But assuming that there is someone to take care of it or it's being taken care of now, then a person should try to find ways to use his tzedakah money for poor people who otherwise wouldn't have. Im nizdamna lo mitzvah lios baal bris. If a person has the opportunity to be the baal bris. Baal bris is generally the sandik, the person who holds a baby at a bris. What the Kitzur seems to be referring to here is that back in the day, I don't know, maybe sometimes today as well, when parents are making a bris for a newborn baby, so if the family is needy and could use a little extra money or maybe can't even afford to pay for the meal, for the suda, for the bris, so somebody more wealthy would offer to give them an amount of money or maybe even pay for the whole meal in exchange for having the zechus, the merit, of being the sandik to hold the baby during the bris. So it's a win-win. Everybody gets something they want. So can you use that money? If I'm going to pay for the whole meal for somebody else's baby so that I can be the sandik, can I use that money from my meiser money? So we'll see in a moment. But similar cases, olahachnis chasan v'chala aniyam l'chupa. Same thing, if somebody's making a wedding, they can't afford to make the wedding, so a person would offer to pay for all or some of the wedding in exchange for the zechus of being able to walk the bride and groom down the aisle into their chuppah. So I get a big zechus of being able to bring someone to the chuppah, and you get the parents will be able to get the money to be able to afford to pay for the suda. What about that case? We'll see in a moment as well. What about spending meiser money on svarim, on Torah books, so that I can learn from them? Or that I can lend to other people to learn from them as well. So in all of these cases, if there's no other way I could afford it, and I wouldn't be able to do any of these mitzvos if not for using my meiser money. In other words, if I use all my meiser money on other needs, I won't be able to pay for this bris, to pay for this wedding, to buy these svarim. So then in that case only, yachol lasos mi meiser, be able to use my meiser money for one of these things. But clearly, the implication of the kitzur is that if I could use my meiser money on regular cases of giving tzedakah to the poor, and then use some additional funds for one of these needs, then that would be even better. But if I don't have additional funds to be able to use, then I'd be able to use my meiser money for one of these. But be careful, final section of this halacha, im konas svarim mimaos meiser, if you buy Torah books from your meiser money, tzarech lizahir lashil al nachirim, you need to make sure that you actually do lend them out to others. It's not, you cannot use your meiser money on just buying svarim for you to enjoy and learn. Meiser money has to be used for the benefit of others, and therefore can use it to buy Torah books, only if I'm going to use them and lend them out to others who want to learn them. Im lo kashiru tzarech lahem, as long as I don't need them at the moment. In other words, I'm allowed to learn from them, of course. When I'm not using them, they have to be offered and available to others to borrow. Azaihu kodem. If I'm using it, then I can take precedence and come first. But if I'm not using it, I have to make sure that I'm trying to lend it out to others. V'gam yizari lichtov aleihem shem mimos meiser. I have to write inside of these svarim that they were bought from meiser money. L'man lo yachziku bahem banav acharav. So that my children who inherit these svarim don't think that these are my svarim that they can just use as they wish. Yes, they can use them, but really they are svarim that must be lent to other people as well, because we don't fully own them. They were bought with meiser money, and therefore, to a certain extent, they belong to everyone. They are for me to use and for me to lend, and I have to make that clear to my descendants who are going to inherit it one day by making sure to write it inside the book. What we learn from the message is that meiser money can be used in many different ways. Primarily, it is used to provide for those in need, but whatever exactly its use and whatever the details of its use are, we need to make sure that it's being used to help other people. Have a wonderful day.